from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Man, y'all don't know the game, man.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Well, I mean, that's true. That's true.
Talking to you, not me.
Man, y'all don't know the game, man.
I told him, TJ.
He not better than me.
That's always a good one.
He ain't better than me.
Yeah, than me. Some of them are. Some of them are. I mean, and this is, I don't know if this is our famous quick aside, but just to put a bow on the conversation you and I were having in the handoff thingy.
It's a crossover.
Like, I'm not even saying that Brandon Ayuk's not as good as or better than Amon-Ra St. Brown. Like, sometimes the whole who's better than who, Tom Brady, Joe Montana, who's better? I always like to change the wording around it because it's like, well, that's just your cup of tea. Like, they're both very, very good players. But Amon-Ra's way more accomplished. Never in the history of the NFL has there been a defensive game plan room when they're getting ready for the 49ers and everybody sits down with clipboards and videos and says, okay, how on God's green earth do we stop Brandon Ayuk this week? If we stop Brandon, we beat the Niners. Period. No, that's not how it sounds.
Yes,
that's how it sounds when Amon-Ra St. Brown and the Lions come to town.
I think that you are conflating or mixing up what I was saying and what I think is the real root of this conversation.
I wasn't responding to anything you said. That was the starting point.
For me, it's not about who is actually better, because I think it's clear that Amon-Ra St. Brown is better. It's about who Brandon Ayuk thinks is better. And if he thinks that he is as good as, if not better than, a player who's making $30 million, then he's going to look at it and think, I deserve more than $30 million. And yeah, that to me is where this lies. Because if you asked any 100 football experts, were asked, who's a better wide receiver, you probably would get an 80 to 85% Amon-Ra. There'd be some that would think, oh, you know, the blocking and the route running, and sure, if he was in a better offense, whatever. You can make an argument. I'm with you on who is better. But for me, the root of all this is, what does Brandon think? And it's clear to me that he thinks that he's better than the 49ers think that he is.
Well,
better is not the word, important.
I don't even know. Yeah, like, I hear what you're saying. I wonder, again, I've thought all along, timing is actually the biggest enemy.
You're
here.
Right there.
It's not even about what Brandon thinks and what the Niners think. It's about what fits right now. And the whole you can't pay everybody thing, which is true. Richard Sherman just said that on his show earlier today. He was like, look, this is one of those situations where you really, if you really dive into it, you can understand both sides pretty well. And I was there until Brandon, if it's true, reportedly turned down somebody offering him the money he's asking for. That's where you lose me. That's where you lose me. So I hear what you're saying. Is it about what Brandon thinks of himself? That's an aspect of this. I'm a little bit more interested, though, in what the 49ers think. Because as I will continue to say, even though I know everyone has thrown all kinds of different reasons why they think Brandon's got this leverage and that leverage, at the end of all of this, when you boil it to its bottom, the Niners have the pen. They've got the phone. Whatever they say goes.
Sure.
So they've got the power. And it's what they think that matters.
But it's not absolute power, because he has the power to do things that can make life uncomfortable for them. And he already looks like it already has happened that way.
Yeah, I mean, he has the power to not play.
He has the power to be a toxic presence in the locker room. He has the power to help turn other people against him. He has a lot of power in things that he can do while he's holding in.
I would argue the 49ers could handle that.
Sure.
The 49ers have handled worse.
Yes, but you know, I'm not saying that it's equal to the power of the pen. And the pen has already been put away because he signed a contract and he's under contract. So that's a given. Okay, go play your fifth-year option. And if he decides to go do that, as TJ Houshmandzadeh had said to us maybe back in April, he's going to go play.
Right.
Because I said, you know, hey, what if he has to play on his fifth-year option? And I was doing one of my long-winded questions and trying to stretch out. And he's like, it cut me off. Oh, he's going to go play. Yeah. He's going to play. And that's... that's the reality of it back then.
You said you're upset.
Right.
But you
know. Where's my helmet? You put
your pants on and
exactly.
You go play.
That felt like a no-brainer then. Now that feels a little bit more like a sticky proposition because he hasn't shown the desire to go out there and just play. By all expectation, he's healthy right now, but he's just not wanting to practice. And if he's not going to practice till he gets his money, and as TJ said, he just wants to get paid. Well, if he doesn't get paid, then something's got to give, because if you're not going to practice until you get paid, and you don't get paid, then you're not going to practice. And if you don't practice, you don't play. And if you don't play, you don't set yourself up for a long-term deal in the offseason. So if it all goes down this way, no trade, no extension, fifth-year option, you got to play, then Brandon's got a tough choice to make.
Yeah,
he can continue to make life difficult, assuming that he is now, and give up, like you said, the really big bag in the offseason, or he just puts his head down, goes out and has 75 catches, 1,300 yards, 8 touchdowns, and then he can double bird his way out of here if he wants.
Yeah. I mean, if the 49ers, like, I agree with that entire assessment. If the 49ers, if they do something now, it's because they're cutting their losses, which, you know, kind of paints a picture that maybe I don't think it's that obvious to see right now. How awful is he making life? You know what I mean?
Super question.
What's
a great question.
What's so bad that you want to send him out of town when he's clearly the best man for the job and you don't have a replacement in place? Like, that's the... for me, if you're not getting some other new receiver who you think is really going to be a great fit, if you're not doing that in a deal, why would you do any deal?
And that's a great question.
Thank you.
Make him sad.
Yeah.
Because he won't. TJ is still right at his core. Brandon is not going to sit. He could sort of make it so Kyle will make him sit. But again,
the long-term benefit of that?
Right. I go back to the question that for me ran June in my mind. Who wins? What is the win? I'm still having a hard time seeing it. Even if you get dealt to Pittsburgh 4 weeks before there's a game, I got a hard time. Who wins here?
Well, he would win if he gets
He gets the money, but like, but the Niners will be worse. Your stats will be worse. You know, like, I think it is kind of funny, the idea of, because a lot of people have said this to me, and he said it. He mentioned it on Ryan Clark's podcast. TJ said
former
to us,
Steeler.
Well, remember TJ? Remember when TJ, you asked him about targets, and TJ was like, "Man, you can be one of these receivers that gets 15 targets, and you want 18."
Yep.
Everybody wants the ball more. All right. Great. Everyone wants the ball more. So, Pittsburgh? You mean black and blue, cloud of dusk, Mike Tomlin, defensive head coach, Pittsburgh? You're not going to go there and get 18 targets?
Not 18, but they throw it more than the Niners do.
And
everybody throws it more than the Niners do.
I mean, again,
raw pass attempts.
Yes,
that's
and that is that was shaded, in my opinion, a little bit last year by how many leads they had late into games. They're fully capable of throwing the ball, and in fact, much much better than the Pittsburgh Steelers. Pittsburgh Steelers have a physical beast of a receiver who could not get going until they went to their third quarterback last year. And he's a guy who's been sitting there on their bench for 4 years. Now, I know that Russell Wilson and Justin Fields are there this year, but I wouldn't act like those two set the world on fire last year. And Pickens is still there and is still angry after most offensive series. I mean, okay.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Pittsburgh threw the ball 15 more times last year than the Niners.
15.
That's 0.88 times a game, Mark.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh was 29th in pass attempts. And the Niners were 32nd.
Number one receiver got how many targets? What did Pickens get?
Oh, I'll punch it up, but probably, I would guess, 100 targets. Here, I'll find it right here.
That was also last season when Matt Canada was their offensive coordinator. They've made a change. They brought in the biggest donkey in probably the entire NFL to be their new offensive coordinator.
There you
for those,
go.
For those not keeping up, their new offensive coordinator is Arthur Smith, the head coach of the Falcons, who everybody across any football fan made fun of for him not being able to get the ball to star wide receiver Drake London, star tight end Kyle Pitts, and Bijan Robinson not using him well. I do have this.
They had no quarterback. Just real quick, Lucas, director of sports. Pickens, 106 targets. Brandon, 105.
Oh, there you go.
For those needing stats to back up this Arthur Smith thing, here is his rank in pass rate over expectation. So that just means, you know, you can do the math. How much he passes when you know, it's the script is even. As a head coach or offensive coordinator, 2019 with the Titans, 29th. 2020 with the Titans, 30th. Big up in 2021 with the Falcons, he was 13th. But then 2022, he was 31st. 2023 with the Falcons, 32nd. Last in the league last year.
Okay. Yeah. Listen, this is not my money. This is not my job. This is not my life. So good on you. I always go back to when Kevin Durant joined the Warriors and for 6 months was like the biggest evil person in national media for whatever reason. And my opinion all along was, dude, you get to do what you want in life. If you want to be a Warrior, then you get to be a Warrior, especially when you're a free agent. But Brandon is not a free agent, and I don't understand this situation from the perspective of anybody. I don't get it. I really don't. I don't know what it is now. I don't know anymore what Brandon even wants. The answer all along was, don't mess with a guy's money. All right, here's the money. Nope, I don't want that either. Wait, what? Now and why the Niners? Why is this happening in August? Why are you giving into his demands? There's got to be a lot going on that we don't know about because none of this makes any sense at all.
So you take your second team all-pro receiver and you just decide in August that you're going to move forward without him.
Right.
Because he's not good anymore. Something's going on behind closed doors that's making them highly motivated to look to these deals. And he says he just wants to get paid. It doesn't mean he wants maximum money. But he wants money close to what he wants, and it seems like he wants to go to Pittsburgh. Maybe it is because he and Mike Tomlin struck up a friendship on Twitter because he thought that, you know, people told him that they looked alike. And Ryan Clark, former Steeler, maybe he just likes Mike Tomlin and wants to go play for a coach that he feels like he can connect with.
Maybe.
Because it doesn't seem like he and Kyle Shanahan really connect on a great level.
The whole thing is, I mean, you know, if you want to trace back to a guy's roots, Brandon Ayuk he's a Pac-12 guy. He's a West Coast guy. I mean, his head coach in college is best friends with John Lynch. He's in lockstep with John and Kyle, always has been. I can't draw any lines to make this make sense for anybody. It makes no sense. I'm very confident, and this is not homerism or anything. I'm very confident that Brandon's numbers will go down if he leaves the Niners. Like, you're leaving the most productive offense in football. It was actually stunning, the numbers he put up with the target share that he had. He was the best in football at that. Like, he did the most with the least, and it wasn't even close. It's crazy what he did. So
he
was
second in the league in yards per target.
Right. So
Khalil Shakir for Buffalo.
I mean, that's
bested him.
Much smaller sample.
Yep, 45 targets instead of 105.
Right. So I look at Brandon, and I know what that probably how that's translated in his mind. Boy, if you gave me targets like other number one receivers, I'd be Tyreek Hill in this thing. However, I think it's fair for all of us to go, would you? Because
Depends on the quarterback and the situation.
Not all targets are the same.
So if you go to New England and you play with Drake May and you get 150 targets, then you probably get the same 75 catches.
512 yards.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
it's going to be tougher. So maybe he looks at Pittsburgh and thinks, well, they've got a better quarterback situation than New England. It's a head coach that I think I can play for. And, you know, you think that you're going to get more than 105 targets, even if you are, you know, sharing targets there like you were here.
Yeah, like, by the way, I don't even know. Now, this is going to make some people go, you know, make you want to throw something off of a wall. I don't know that Brandon arrives in Pittsburgh as their number one receiver.
Yeah.
I don't know that. George is one hell of a physical presence and has been there in the system for multiple years. You know, like, you just walk in and take over, maybe. I don't even know who their quarterback is. I don't know if they know who their quarterback is. There's so many question marks. And I have a hard time making sense of this right now from any angle.
I do think that if you go there, you don't have to share targets with as many people. And that if you're looking at just your numbers, here you've got George and Christian and Debo and you. So four different people all getting about the same number of targets. You go to Pittsburgh and it's George. Deontay Johnson had 87 targets.
Well, he's gone.
Jalen Warren had 74 targets out of the backfield. So you would at least feel like
you have Najee Harris, you have Pat Freiermuth.
Najee had 38 targets. They don't throw it to the back very often.
No, but I'm talking about just ball, you know, just like the ball.
I'm just saying for, you know, targets, because here in San Francisco, you do have to share it with a lot more people. Maybe you figure you go there, and if you're not wide receiver one, you're at least 1B, and you're going to get more. If it's all about numbers and money and not about being on a winning team and a winning culture, then you'd be motivated to go somewhere else.
I feel you there. I mean, one thing, and this is kind of the lovely Christie's line. She's used this over and over because we sat there and watched all of the receiver doc. Like, you came to the 49ers. Okay, only five people got invited to do this show. Netflix comes to the 49ers, and they're like, we think you're worth two. We'd like two of your receivers. And neither of them are Brandon.
Right.
Well, wow.
Part of it's the personality. Let's be fair.
Part of it.
George was only included in this because he's George Kittle.
Right, but why Debo's not some massive personality that's all over the place talking to everybody.
No, he's but Debo's George. A good personality. Yeah. So you picked one, Brandon's so you're going to pick both. I don't think that Brandon Ayuk has anywhere near the personality. With his hood on, and you see he's very soft-spoken.
I don't think he has the name value. But again, if we're all acknowledging that this whole conversation goes into ego and setting and share, how does it resonate with you when documentaries are being filmed about receivers and two of them come from your team and you're neither of them? And your team looks at you and goes, no, not 28, not 27.
Yeah. You know what
maybe
I think?
Maybe 26.
I think they say they don't want me. That's what I think.
And he does.
That's right.
And that's what he thinks.
Exactly. And so the receiver doc was filmed last year. So that was a signal that was already sent to him because those two were mic'd up all year during the year last year. And so he's running around doing big things, 75 catches and a second team all pro. And you don't want to mic me up. And then you get out of the Super Bowl and 48 hours later, you're already feeling a little bit of a chip on your shoulder. And so you begin immediately your off-season campaign toward getting that bag. And here we are 6 months removed almost to the day from the Super Bowl and still no resolution.
Yeah. I mean,
so I think you're right.
Remember, Brandon Ayuk was their leading receiver the year before, too. He went for 1,000 yards.
Exactly.
And Debo gets picked for Netflix coming off a worst season of his career. Debo was not good. He went for 630 yards. But I mean, we all know that when the 49er offense comes together, there's no diminishing how good Brandon Ayuk is and how good he was in the system. But if you really like ask what the identity of the offense is, you start going through a lot of names before you get to Brandon.
Well, identity for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you mentioned it before, like with the boom boxes. It's him and Trent. And I do think that's a big reason why he was picked because, well, for one, he's got the great name and he's got the great story, the cute son.
My gosh,
the boom box guy and he's out there doing unique things as a football player. Brandon Ayuk is an elite wide receiver, but you can go down the list of wide receivers and you can find comps for good route runners, great hands, good finishers, can make all the catches and all the rest of it. There aren't too many Debo Samuels out there, and there certainly isn't another George Kittle.
Was it Chad Johnson or Ocho Cinco or whatever he wants to call himself? Was he the one? I heard something on Steiny and Goo earlier today where, and Granny, maybe you can find out. I think that they said it was Chad Johnson who basically came out and said, look, he's a good player, but receivers are replaceable. And I was like, whoa, coming from that guy.
Exactly.
That's interesting. He's not wrong. If you remove the emotion, the stats, the faces, and the jerseys, and you just ask yourself, should a football team, anyone that is paying a quarterback, forget if it's $60 million or $50 or whatever, but you're paying a quarterback at a high level, should any team go north of $25 million a year for two receivers? You can do it. The Eagles are
doing it. Yep. Yep.
I don't know but is that working?
The coach is on the hot seat going into the year.
I mean, you saw all the stories earlier today. It just comes out now that Sirianni and Jalen Hurts were apparently at each other all year last year. There's always an answer. It's just like the Warriors when they couldn't win a road game after Draymond punched Jordan Poole. And you're like, gosh, why is the roster not work? Something's going on in there. And we joked that it was Big Dom. Well, now you have your answer.
They couldn't win without me. I got ejected and the dust started losing. I'm Big Dom.
Quarterback. I love
you forgot
your
about Big, my Dom.
Big Dom. I did. I bring him up because my hope is that you'll bring him back. But Sirianni and Hurts were not on the same page. That'll kill any team. Your coach and your quarterback are pushing in opposite directions. You're done. You're done. And then, they're being praised. Oh, they got out ahead of it. They paid Devontae and AJ. But, well, let's see what this looks like.
Yeah.
I know you got Saquon now. I bet it's going to be amazing. Will it?
Well, I'm just looking at the list of these quarterbacks, and it's interesting the way you lay that out because Mahomes in Kansas City, they don't have two guys making 25. They don't even have one.
They don't have one. Not even close.
Travis Kelce is a tight end, probably makes that, but he's a tight end. Cincinnati, well, they're in a spot now because Ja'Marr Chase is holding in, and he wants his bag. I don't think T. Higgins is making 25. But
no, he's on the tag.
Right. So,
yeah, it's 1 year.
Right. So they're a team that might be looking at that down the road. Trevor Lawrence is next. That's a no. The Chargers and Justin Herbert, they just got rid of both of their receivers. Baltimore is a no. Buffalo did exactly what Green Bay has done, and they purged themselves of the high-priced guys. Philadelphia's the only one, and Jalen's making 51 average annual, and they got the two guys making more than 25, and we'll see how that works
out.
Yeah.
Kelce makes 17, by the way.
Oh, that's all.
I mean, tight end. Yeah. Okay. Tight end. He got a...
Now he got that Swifty money, so he doesn't have to worry about it. Yeah, he's going to pull through.
Yeah, I mean...
Tua's making 53 average annual, and you got...
And the Dolphins are paying two.
Waddle and Tyreek.
We'll see.
Yeah.
You know?
Jared Goff's making 53 average annual, but it's just Amon-Ra.
Just Amon-Ra.
And then you go through, and there really aren't any teams that are paying two guys that much.
And when you have, if you want to call it a run-first offense, or at least an offense that runs through its running back and its left tackle, it probably makes even less sense to do it.
Exactly.
And I'm sure that's at least a thought. I don't know if it's the thought. That's probably a thought from Kyle Shanahan. He's like, look, we got this great roster. If we're going to figure out where we're trimming money and where we're adding money, I don't think wide receiver room is where he wants to add money.
Exactly. They just, you know, re-signed their fullback. They reworked his deal because they do a lot with the fullback, and they only have two receivers on the field anyway most of the time.
Sponsored by Meineke Car Care Centers. Speaking of McCaffrey, an update on his injury situation with Doc Pandya in a half hour. Matt Barrows in an hour. He's tapped in. He's dialed in. We'll get the latest. Your calls, though, right now, 888-957-9570. If you were the Niners, what would you do? Trade, keep, hardball, whatever. We'll take your calls on that next. Willard and Dibbs.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Back to Willard and Dibbs.
That's a great question.
On
95.7 The Game.
See what happened in Seahawks camp today?
Missed it. Yeah, talk to me. I'm too locked up in Little League Baseball. Regionals.
Yeah, you are. You're locked in. You are locked in.
You got a feel for Oregon giving up 11 runs in the fifth today, but that's neither here nor there.
No, I feel for the all the players because of the way this umpire's behaving. I can't stand it.
Is he punching kids out?
It's not just that. He's like super slow and deliberate. It's actually kind of fun to watch. But like,
oh, he's doing the bow
like
and
the ball's already being thrown around the infield before he actually is like splada, you're out. Like, pow.
I
hate referee Dibs. Yeah, but this one's fine. He's making good calls. He just takes about 12 seconds to do it. So it's kind of fun, but I would imagine it's annoying if you're the batter.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
It's one of the few things as an umpire, artistically, you get to kind of decide on. How are you going to do your strike call?
Right.
And he's doing the bow and arrow where you take the right hand and you pull it back. Pow! I was always kind of an up and out guy. It's just the one thing you get to do artistically as an umpire.
But are you definitive, though? Like,
oh, yeah.
You're quick.
Yeah, yeah. Pow! Sure.
Yeah, this one's just like... Ha!
Yeah, he'll wait.
Yeah, it takes too long. Anyway.
Anyhow.
Seahawks camp. So, this is relevant to the 49ers, I think, based on the conversation we're having. In fact, we were all, as a group, Grandy too, we were having this conversation before the show even started, in terms of what can the 49ers handle? What is Brandon doing that's so distracting? It's like, we've got to send him to Pittsburgh. Because we can't do this anymore. What is happening at camp? That's what I want to ask, Kyle. What's so bad? He's just out there in shorts. And Grandy was like, Niners can handle this. They handled the Jimmy thing. You kept calling it the kiddie field.
Right. That's where he was.
Which was really funny. And Jimmy's over there on the kiddie field, like not even on the team. And then suddenly he was on the team. And Trey Lance is there. And it's his big year, and they put Jimmy right over his shoulder, and we all freak out. Meantime, what none of us knew is that the whispers going through the building, all of them are like, Brock Purdy's actually better than both of them.
Right.
They dealt with that and went all the way to the NFC title game.
Yes.
Okay.
But that's football. What's going on here is not football. Well, I think that Kyle can handle Jimmy on the kiddie field, and let's see what we have with Trey, and I think that Brock's the bomb anyway. That's football stuff.
Oh, I'd argue the Jimmy Garoppolo thing was everything but football. It was football.
He was out there playing football.
Right, but it was contractual, and it was emotions, and it was anger, and it was Kyle versus a quarterback. It was all those things. It was those things for 2 years. So anyway, what happened in Seattle today is that DK Metcalf essentially went Aaron Donald / Myles Garrett and swung his helmet at a teammate.
What?
It's not a joint practice. He swung a helmet and landed on a teammate.
Swinging a drive?
Swinging a drive. Now listen, I can't tell. I'm just looking at the melee. I don't know. I can't tell what teammate it is.
Was it a fracas?
It was a fracas.
I'm seeing reports that it was a scuffle.
It was all those things. It was all those things. And what's the name of the big funny hats that they all wear at camp? What are those things?
Guardian caps.
Yeah, the guardian cap. I think the
Shout out Cleveland.
I think that, the guy that got hit wasn't wearing a guardian cap.
Oh, oof. Boy.
Anyway, so.
Apparently Trey Brown and Jake Hey, Bobo. Exchange punches.
Uh-oh.
Shortly after the confrontation, it was a confrontation sensation.
I was
going
to ask you. Thank you for getting to
DK Metcalf joined the fray. Nothing like being the third guy in and starting to swing a helmet.
Okay. So DK trying to make the next receiver doc on Netflix. So this is what football teams deal with. Okay? And this will be no big deal. It's not, now, don't get mad at me, because it's not the same. It's not that far of a departure from Draymond and Jordan Poole. The difference is what? Well, there are helmets, and it's football, so we're used to it. But a teammate assaulted a teammate, but we're used to it. So it lands completely differently. The video is not quite the same, though there is very clear video. There's very clear video of it. This will blow over by dinner. No big deal. Football teams can handle stuff.
Yeah.
And so my question...
Pending the video, and I haven't seen the video, but pending the video will allow me to put it into more context as to the Draymond Jordan Poole thing.
It's a guy that's got a helmet on. He gets hit in the helmet with another helmet.
Right. This is not one guy walking straight up to a teammate and just splodow, as you like to say.
Well, it's a guy swinging what could be thought of as a deadly weapon at the head of a teammate. My point is not about the way it looks. It's the concept of what's taking place. It's a teammate fighting a teammate.
Right.
Like, that's all.
It's what happens.
Yeah. In football.
Sure.
We're cool with it. This happens in a baseball team. My God, releases are happening. It's an international incident.
If it doesn't happen at a football training camp, then you aren't playing hard enough. Well, you know what I mean?
Not the fighting, I get. The not helmet swinging. Helmet swing, that's a little intense.
Sure.
But my point is football teams handle more stuff than anyone. And so my question for the 49ers would be, and they wouldn't answer it, but this is just the question I have. What is going on at camp that's so bad that is making you turn your leverage in, turn your team into a national daily story, step by step? What's he doing now? Where's his agent? Who's calling who? Well, the Steelers say he's there. But wait a minute. The Pats are back in. Now the Pats are out. Don't forget the Browns. What about Amari Cooper? There's Amari. He's at practice. Okay.
The Commanders QB is his best friend.
You're allowing this to be the thing every day. And Schefter says the Niners are in new rush. Okay?
It's a three. So,
I mean, I don't get it. Why are you allowing this to happen? What is Brandon doing that is upsetting you to such a level that A, you're like, we've got to trade him, and B, you're turning in your leverage, especially after he already said no to an agreed-upon trade and a contract that supposedly hits the number that he wants. To me, this just screams, walk away. Walk away.
But they won't. And at least they haven't, and they haven't for an obvious reason. What the reason is, it's unknowable from the outside, but clearly, whatever's going on, maybe it's the way that he's dug in, not only contractually, but as far as his participation goes. Maybe he has made it absolutely crystal clear that he will not be practicing without a new deal. And the new deal won't be coming because the two sides are so far apart that they haven't even talked in 3 months. So if that's the case, he doesn't even need to be carrying on and, you know, mumbling under his breath or, like, you know, double birding Shanahan when he walks by. Or it doesn't even have to be anything that dramatic. It can just be his steadfast refusal to participate combined with his presence in the building, which is a constant reminder not only to himself and to Shanahan, but to his teammates. I'm just here so I won't get fined, right? The old Marshawn Lynch line.
Right. But don't you think, I feel like the 49ers have plenty of recourse there. I don't know the specific rules. I find that it would be very odd for someone to break these rules. Like, go back to Trent Williams. Trent didn't show up and go to practice every day. He didn't show up and work out. He didn't walk around on the field. There are plenty of holdouts. There are plenty of hold-ins. I'm pretty sure a team can simply say, please stay away from the facility while this gets figured out. You can do that, I think. So just do that. If he's in your face and in the way, and just send him home. I am gathering everything you're saying. I understand it. I agree with it. What I don't understand is why they're handling it the way they're handling it. Send him home and tell him we'll either see you week one or we won't. Your call. We're here playing football. And then get ready for life without him, which seemingly is what they're doing anyway.
They seem to be preparing for life without him.
That's why I don't understand the trade. If you're preparing for life without him, just look at him and tell him we're preparing for life without you. That's it. The Niners seem to be doing something when they don't have to do anything. That's where I sit on it.
Yeah, I could look through the collective bargaining agreement to figure out exactly what the language is, but it's 456 pages. So I don't know if there's...
You haven't memorized it yet?
Not, I'm about 138 pages through, and boy, it's a real page-turner. But the first, actually, 17 pages are table of contents. So maybe we can...
Well, you can jump through that.
There's a lot of appendices. So, you know, based on this collective bargaining agreement, I'm sure they have things they can do, things they can't do, fines they can issue, fines they can't issue. And if he's there, clearly he's holding in to avoid being fined as a holdout. So I don't even think that they can just say, you can't come into our facility right now unless there's conduct detrimental. And then they could put him on, you know, a certain list where, like, if he did something illegal or if he did something damaging or destructive to the team, then you could come in and say, all right, you're gonna be suspended for a week.
Well, but you're talking about if the fines were still there. I get that. And I know, like, just don't fine him. And maybe they can't unilaterally do that. Maybe there is a stipulation about you need to be on the scene in order to avoid those fines. I don't understand that to begin with. I told you that yesterday. I think that's the weirdest rule of all in the CBA. The idea of a hold-in makes no sense at all. Why are you're not being fined because you're not there. You're being fined because you're not practicing. So you're not helping anybody by being there and not practicing. You're still not getting ready for the season. But anyway, that's the way they wrote it, and that's what it is. So, I don't know, do it a different way. You want to come to the facility and not get fined? Great. We've set up a room for you over here in the back. It's got Wi-Fi and everything. You can sit there. Don't come on the field. They can do that. They're in charge. The coach is in charge of the field. You can send someone off the field. You can send someone on the field. I know that I'm asking like hypotheticals where there is no hard and fast answer. I don't know what happened that robbed the 49ers of their fastball. Throw your fastball.
Well, it's a little bit like a pitcher who loses faith in his fastball. They had the total control of the situation if they wanted it, and then they ceded it, they gave it to Brandon Ayuk and his agent by listening to his request for a trade, because he requested to be traded, and all they would have had to do is say, that's real nice, and you actually said these very things. We'll see you on Monday. Bring your playbook, you know? And that would be the end of that. But they didn't do that. And as they've gone down this road, they've only empowered him and his sense of leverage or his sense of power even more, because they are willing to listen to trade offers. They're engaging with teams reportedly in these trades. They're getting prospective packages back and allowing Brandon's agent to go out and negotiate with these teams and figure out if he can find a happy place. So they've only given him more power as this process has gone on.
Maybe. Or maybe this is all Markkanen-esque.
Could be.
Maybe the 49ers are just like, sure, we'll listen. Anybody want to blow us out of the water
exactly.
here?
Exactly.
And if you don't, then no deal.
That's possible.
I mean, again, nothing has happened. You know, all the Pittsburgh reports, by the way, the stuff that I'm seeing now are that the Steelers have been knocking on the Niners' door about this since March and have never gone
before the trade.
And have never gone away. They have never stopped. They have never lost faith. They've been there the whole time, and the Niners still haven't done it. Why? I would gather because the Steelers have not offered the 49ers anything that makes them float their boat.
Right, so, but between March and now, a lot's happened to where the 49ers, I mean, it seems like it.
If they haven't even engaged since May.
With maybe, Brandon under yeah, contract,
maybe
yeah.
Maybe nothing has happened.
Well, what's happened is that he's holding in, and what's happened is it seems like he has a greater desire to play elsewhere. And again, that's just a perception from the outside.
Right.
One thing we know, he's not at practice. He's healthy enough to practice, but he's not practicing. So that tells me that at some level, he's unhappy with the current situation.
Well, here's what I wonder. I wonder if this isn't a clue that he was going to be gone after this year anyway. Like, in other words, I know the 49ers are sort of, and I won't say hiding behind, but the narrative is out there that a number of months ago, when it was almost done, that there was an extension on the table for $26 million a year, approximately. So that would tell me that the 49ers are planning to build around Ayuk in the receiver room for the next 5 years, and that maybe Debo was going to be gone after the year. And that's what a lot of us were thinking. And then when that negotiation went sideways, I wonder if the thought was, Brandon will come to his senses and sign the extension. Or did the Niners decide right there that day, we're not extending him. Period. Brandon Ayuk's gone after the year. And if he wants to play on the fifth-year option, great. And if he doesn't, then we'll figure it out. But we are not signing this guy to an extension. We are going to build around Debo. We've got Ricky Pearsall. If Ricky needs to play a starting role a year earlier than we wanted him to, then so be it. We feel like we can do well with that. I don't know. But it certainly feel the Niners are treating this. The only way you trade him in August is if you sort of were planning to deal him or be done with him at the end of the year anyway. That's the only way you would get to this point right now where you're like, let's see what's available now, because in theory, as everyone has said, oh, the Niners are going to go take 60 or 70 cents on the dollar. Well, then why would you do it? The only reason you take 60 or 70 cents on the dollar is if you're going to get 0 cents on the dollar in 6 months.
Yes, but you still have the ability to franchise them, even though you and I both kind of agree that they won't do that. They don't use the franchise tag, and that honestly wouldn't work for a player who would be probably not gruntled, but disgruntled by the time you get to the end of the year. The only reason why you would trade him in August would be two reasons. One, you get a player back that you think can help you now. Maybe it's a receiver. Maybe it's another position. Or two, the situation gets to be so uncomfortable that it's almost addition by subtraction. And then, yeah, maybe you do take 60 or 70 cents on the dollar because you get to a spot where this is just not working. It's become toxic and it's affecting our ability to go out there and get ready for the season. And maybe that's the spot that we've reached. And you know, you're right. The Schefter comment about, there's really no rush for the 49ers. That tells me that even if they do make a trade with Brandon Ayuk, that they're probably not going to get much back other than picks. And so maybe this does drag into the season. And I think the NFL trade deadline is around Halloween. So imagine if this, you know, if they don't trade him this week, or they don't trade him in August, and they don't trade him in September, and he plays a little bit, but maybe he doesn't play until week four because he finally reports in week one, and he starts to go through practice, takes him a few weeks to get ready. You realize that you kind of can still win without him. Maybe he doesn't play until week four, and you start out the year 3-0. Then you get to a spot where maybe you think about trading him then.
Grandy says it's November 5th.
Okay. It's November usually 5th. Around Halloween, so thank you.
I think it was Halloween last year. They moved it back a few days.
Perfect. Oh, moved it back, yeah.
That thing up.
The risk that Brandon Ayuk takes if he brings this into the regular season, to me, is just beyond. It's just crazy. Ryan Williams should be ashamed of himself if somehow that's the way this plays.
Well, we've seen agents botch deals here in the recent past, you know.
Scott Boras, line one.
It happens.
Well, we've referenced the Schefter comment a couple times, so let's let everybody hear it. This is on ESPN and NFL Live.
There are teams out there that are willing to compensate the 49ers to their satisfaction, but that's not where Brandon Ayuk would like to go. And there are teams that are willing to make Brandon Ayuk happy, but it's not what the 49ers are getting back in return that would make them happy. So I think when you step back and assess the situation, a lot of people around the league believe that the 49ers are not going to be in any rush here to make a move, despite the fact that everybody's waiting for a breathless update, waiting to see when and if Brandon Ayuk will be traded. He might be, and it might be soon, but they are not rushing into anything right now. They're going to take their time, be deliberate, and see what's out there before they make any move at all, because they do know that they would be moving on from a very good wide receiver.
I think, by the way, we keep talking about this as the Niners versus Ayuk. Keep in mind what's going on with these other teams. And this is why I would still suggest to the 49ers, play as hard of ball as you can, because the clock is on your side, provided that you've already reasoned with the idea of playing this year without Brandon. If that's okay with you, then the clock is all on your side.
Yeah, the clock is off.
Pittsburgh needs Brandon now. You got to get into camp and learn the system and get on the same page with these quarterbacks, and let's get ready for the season. The 49ers are like, no, you don't want to give us what we want?
They can wait.
Call back tomorrow.
If you are resigned to the reality or the possibility that you're going to not have Brandon anyway, if you take Brandon Ayuk at his word that he's not practicing without a new deal, and a new deal is not on the horizon, so now you're resigned to the reality that Brandon won't practice without a new contract. We can't come to terms on a new contract, and maybe we actually don't even really want to. Your point was well made about Debo and Brandon both making more than $25 million a year. Brock heading toward 55 or 60 doesn't make a lot of sense, so maybe they're happy that you know, he has to play on his fifth year option, and maybe behind the scenes, the Niners are calling his bluff and saying, all right, unless we get two firsts from Pittsburgh,
yeah,
or a first in Pickens, or whatever the package is that they want, they aren't in any great rush, and with the trade deadline November 5th, thank you for that, Grandy, time really is on the Niners' side if they're already resigned to the reality that Brandon won't play unless he gets a new deal.
Yeah. Like, you're going to have to, like, I don't even think there's a way to make the 49ers whole here in August. I don't think there's a trade that's going to make everybody feel like, oh, well, this was great. This made the Niners better. I very much doubt that.
Even if they got Pickens, or they got Amari Cooper, yeah, or they got another team's, wide receiver one.
I still think downgrade. Agreed. It's not as simple as who's better, Brandon or Cooper or whatever. It's as, like, those guys have not been on the Niners before. Those guys have not, those guys don't know the system. Are they blockers downfield? We don't know these things. So I think all of it is a downgrade for the Niners. But I do think, look, if you're going to do this, yeah, hold those teams' feet to the fire. We don't have to make a trade. So you want to make a trade? You're going to make it a very good trade, or we're not trading him. You got to be willing to do that, and I got to imagine they are.
Yeah,
fierce negotiators that they're known to be.
Yes, but at the same time, you've got a football coach who is clearly annoyed with this situation and the fact that it's an ongoing story. And if you're Kyle Shanahan, you just want to focus on football. You got Tennessee on Saturday. First look at what you have in an exhibition game, and you've got the actual season opener in 33 days. That's not a lot of time to get your team ready, and yet you have to answer the first seven questions in his press conference yesterday were about Brandon Ayuk.
Mm-hmm.
The one guy, or one of two guys, not actually on the field. That's annoying.
I'm surprised it was only seven. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Coming up next, we'll continue to take your phone calls. If you haven't heard, Mike Garofalo on NFL Network actually give a Brandon Ayuk, Ryan Williams report. That's Brandon's agent. Because Ryan was standing right behind him as they were doing their report. If you haven't heard that yet, you want to hear it. And then also, Doc Pandy is going to jump in here next. The latest on the injuries led by Christian McCaffrey and his calf. So all of that right around the corner on Willard and Dip.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
A
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.